Hello, my name is Dave Emery, and this is side one of For the Record program number 585, titled Update on Biological Warfare and Lyme Disease. This is being recorded on February 11th of the year 2007. Let me begin by encouraging listeners, and most emphatically, to utilize the tremendous amount of information that is available on the Internet. Those of you who only listen to the program itself are missing the greater part of the For the Record experience, to coin a term, because there is a tremendous amount of information available on the Spitfire website and linked websites, and so please utilize that vast and growing body of information. Each program gets turned into a long article-length description. There is literally a mini library of old anti-fascist books available, and just a tremendous, a blog sphere, a search engine, just about anything that one could want. Plus, of course, WFMU is archiving the broadcasts on real audio and also on MP3. So all of the For the Record shows are available on audio on the WFMU websites. Spitfire also features the last four For the Record broadcasts for download only. So please use the information that's available online. It'll help to flesh out people's understanding. Now, what we're going to do on this broadcast is to once again resume and to a certain extent review a line of inquiry that we have engaged in before, specifically in For the Record program number 480 from October of 2004. In that broadcast, we took a look at an apparent historical relationship between not only biological warfare research in the United States, but specifically research done on the Plum Island facility in the post-World War II period, research involving the use of ticks as disease vectors for biological warfare research purposes, and also the research done there in that context by someone named Eric Traub. Eric Traub had been in charge of virological and biological warfare for the Third Reich. He reported directly to Heinrich Himmler, the head of the SS. His program was conducted under the guise of being an anti-cancer program or a cancer research program. Eric Traub was brought into the United States at the end of World War II under the auspices of Project Paperclip, and that is where our inquiry is going to begin. Most of the second side of the program is going to consist of a reading of an article that discusses some relatively recent developments, namely the fact that Lyme disease research in this country has been overseen and regulated by elements associated with both countermeasures for biological warfare research and biological warfare research itself. One of the interesting things about biological warfare research is the fact that, to a large extent, any distinction between offensive and defensive biological warfare research is academic, because when one is examining the principles by which microorganisms cause disease, one is simply doing that research, whether it has an offensive or a defensive application. The root research is identical. So that's something to bear in mind. Another point of information here, Plum Island, which is going to figure prominently in the first part of the broadcast, that is a U.S. government laboratory that was set up specifically to do research into animal diseases. It is officially under the auspices of the U.S. Department of Agriculture, or was. It also doubled as a military biological warfare research facility. And one of the points to note about biological warfare research, before we plunge in here, is that animal disease research, veterinary pathogenic research, is very, very prominent in biological warfare research. Veterinary medicine figures prominently in biological warfare research. among other reasons, the fact that the veterinarians are not bound by the Hippocratic Oath. Something to think about. In any event, we're going to begin with a discussion of Project Paperclip and the genesis of Eric Traub's work for the United States government on Plum Island in connection with Lyme disease. We're going to be reading now from the book Lab 257, The Disturbing Story of the Government's Secret Plum Island Germ Laboratory by Michael Christopher Carroll. The book was published in hardcover by HarperCollins. And of Project Paperclip, Mr. Carroll writes, "Nearing the end of World War II, the United States and the Soviet Union raced to recruit German scientists for post-war purposes. Under a top-secret program codenamed Project Paperclip, the U.S. military pursued Nazi scientific talent, quote, like forbidden fruit, unquote, bringing them to America under employment contracts and offering them full U.S. citizenship. The recruits were supposed to be nominal participants in Nazi activities, but the zealous military recruited more than 2,000 scientists, many of whom had dark Nazi Party pasts. American scientists viewed these Germans as peers and quickly forgot they were on opposite sides of a ghastly global war in which millions perished. Fearing brutal retaliation from the Soviets for the Nazis' vicious treatment of them, some scientists cooperated with the Americans to earn amnesty. Others played the two nations off each other to get the best financial deal in exchange for their services. Dr. Eric Traub was troubling on the Soviet side of the Iron Curtain after the war and ordered to research germ warfare viruses for the Russians. He pulled off a daring escape with his family to West Berlin in 1949. Applying for Project Paperclip employment, Traub affirmed he wanted to do scientific work in the USA, become an American citizen, and be protected from Russian reprisals, unquote. As lab chief of INSELRIEMS, INSELRIEMS, a secret Nazi biological warfare laboratory on a crescent-shaped island nestled in the Baltic Sea, Traub worked directly for Adolf Hitler's second-in-charge, SS Reichsfuhrer Heinrich Himmler, on live germ trials. More about Eric Traub. Eric Traub, before we continue with his induction into the U.S. national security establishment, he had actually been in the United States and had been hanging out at organizations involved with promoting German Americans into a Nazi, or prodding German Americans into a Nazi direction. Turning once again to Lab 257, Traub also listed his 1930s membership in America Deutscher Volksbund, a German-American, quote, club, unquote, also known as Camp Siegfried. Just 30 miles west of Plum Island in Yaphank, Long Island, Camp Siegfried was the national headquarters of the American Nazi movement. Ironically, Traub spent the pre-war period of his scientific career on a fellowship at the Rockefeller Institute in Princeton, New Jersey, perfecting his skills in viruses and bacteria under the tutelage of American experts before returning to Nazi Germany on the eve of war. Despite Traub's troubling war record, the U.S. Navy recruited him for its scientific designs and stationed him at the Naval Medical Research Institute in Bethesda, Maryland. And now something about Project Paperclip and Dr. Traub's work for it. Again, from Lab 257, just months into his paperclip contract, the germ warriors of Fort Detrick, the Army's biological warfare headquarters in Frederick, Maryland, and CIA operatives invited Traub in for a talk, later reported in a declassified top-secret summary. Dr. Traub is a noted authority on viruses and diseases in Germany and Europe. This interrogation revealed much information of value to the animal disease program from a biological warfare point of view. Traub discussed work done at a German animal disease station during World War II and subsequent to the war when the station was under Russian control. Traub's detailed explanation of the secret operation on INSELRIEMS and his activities there during the war and for the Soviets laid the groundwork for Fort Detrick's offshore germ warfare animal disease lab on diseases lab on Plum Island. Traub was a founding father. So Eric Traub, in charge of virological and biological warfare, or virological and bacteriological warfare for the Third Reich, a man who reported directly to Heinrich Himmler, one of the, quote, founding fathers, unquote, of the genesis, basically, at present at the birth of one of the founding fathers of Plum Island and its liaison with biological warfare, or its involvement in biological warfare research. Still more, again from Lab 257. Everybody seemed willing to forget about Eric Traub's dirty past, that he played a crucial role in the Nazis' quote, cancer research program, unquote, the cover name for their biological warfare program, and that he worked directly under SS Reichsfuhrer Heinrich Himmler. They seemed willing to overlook that Traub in the 1930s faithfully attempted Camp Siegfried. In fact, the USDA liked him so much it glossed over his dubious past and offered him the top scientist job at the new Plum Island Laboratory not once, but twice. Just months after the 1952 public hearings on selecting Plum Island, Doc Sheahan dialed Dr. Traub at the Naval Laboratory to discuss plans for establishing the germ laboratory and a position on Plum Island. And still more about Eric Traub and Plum Island. 6 years later, and only 2 years after Traub squirmed in his seat at the Plum Island dedication ceremonies, senior scientist Dr. Jacob Traum retired. The USDA needed someone of outstanding caliber with a long-established reputation internationally as well as nationally, unquote, to fill Dr. Traum's shoes. But somehow, it couldn't find a suitable American. Quote, as a last resort, it is now proposed that a foreigner be employed. The Aggies' choice? Eric Traub, who was in their view, quote, the most desirable candidate from any source, unquote. The 1958 secret USDA memorandum, Justification for Employment of Dr. Eric Traub, unquote, conveniently omitted his World War II activities, but it did emphasize that, quote, his originality, scientific abilities, and general competence as an investigator, unquote, were developed at the Rockefeller Institute in New Jersey in the 1930s. And still more, the omission of Traub's work for the Third Reich certainly did not hinder his professional rise. Again, from Lab 257, quote, the letters supporting Traub to lead Plum Island came in from fellow Plum Island founders. Quote, I hope that every effort will be made to get him. He has had long and productive experience in both pre-war and post-war Germany, unquote, said Dr. William Hagen, dean of the Cornell University Veterinary School, carefully dispensing with his wartime activities. The final word came from his dear American friend and old Rockefeller Institute boss, Dr. Richard Shope, who described Traub as careful, skilled, productive, and very original, and, quote, one of this world's most outstanding virologists. Shope's sole reference to Traub at war, quote, during the war, he was in Germany serving in the German army, unquote. And Traub declined the offer to lead the lab, but there is considerable evidence that he was deeply involved with the research that was going on there, including, as we will see, research that may have involved ticks as vectors, including possibly Lyme disease. Again, from Lab 257, declining the USDA's offer, Traub continued his directorship of the Tübingen Laboratory in West Germany, though he visited Plum Island frequently. In 1960, he was forced to resign as Tübingen's director under a dark cloud of financial embezzlement. Traub continued sporadic lab research for another 3 years and then left Tübingen for good, a scandalous end to a checkered career. In the late 1970s, the esteemed virologist Dr. Robert Shope, on business in Munich, paid his father Richard's old Rockefeller Institute disciple a visit. The germ warrior had been in early retirement for about a decade by then. Quote, I had dinner with Traub one day, out of old time's sake, and he was a pretty defeated man by then, unquote. On May 18, 1985, the Nazis' virus warrior Dr. Eric Traub died unexpectedly in his sleep in West Germany. He was 78 years old. A biological warfare mercenary who worked under three flags, Nazi Germany, the Soviet Union, and the United States, Traub was never investigated for war crimes. He escaped any inquiry into his wartime past. The full extent of his sordid endeavors went with him to his grave. While America brought a handful of Nazi war criminals to justice, it safeguarded many others in exchange for verses to the new state religion, modern science, and espionage. Writ records detailing a fraction of Eric Traub's activities are now available to the public, but most are withheld by Army intelligence and the CIA on grounds of national security, but there's enough of a glimpse to draw quite a sketch. And then Mr. Carroll goes on to talk about John Loftus and some of his research, which pointed in the direction of Traub / Plum Island research as a source of a lot of trouble, possibly, as we'll see, the intentional or perhaps accidental dissemination of Lyme disease. Attorney John Loftus was hired in 1979 by the Office of Special Investigations, a unit set up by the Justice Department to expose Nazi war crimes and unearth Nazis hiding in the United States. Given top-secret clearance to review files that had been sealed for 35 years, Loftus found a treasure trove of information on America's post-war Nazi recruiting. In 1982, publicly challenging the government's complacency with the wrongdoing, he told 60 Minutes that top Nazi officers had been protected and harbored in America by the CIA and the State Department. "They got the Emmy Award," Loftus wrote. "My family got the death threats." Old spies reached out to him after the publication of his book, The Ballara Secret, encouraged that he, unlike other authors, submitted his manuscript to the government, agreeing to censor portions to protect national security. The spooks gave him copies of secret documents and told him stories of clandestine operations. From these leads, Loftus ferreted out the dubious Nazi past of Austrian President and UN Secretary General Kurt Waldheim, and parenthetically, also a longtime political ally of Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger. Continuing, Loftus revealed that during World War II, Waldheim had been an officer in a German army unit that committed atrocities in Yugoslavia. A disgraced Kurt Waldheim faded from the international scene soon thereafter. In the preface of The Ballara Secret, Loftus laid out a striking piece of information gleaned from his spy network. Even more disturbing are the records of the Nazi germ warfare scientists who came to America. They experimented with poison ticks dropped from planes to spread rare diseases. "I have received some information suggesting that the U.S. tested some of these poison ticks on the Plum Island artillery range off the coast of Connecticut during the early 1950s. Most of the germ warfare records have been shredded, but there is a top-secret U.S. document confirming that, quote, clandestine attacks on crops and animals, unquote, took place at this time, unquote. And still more. Eric Traub had been working for the American Biological Warfare Program from his 1949 Soviet escape until 1953. We know he consulted with Fort Detrick scientists and CIA operatives, that he worked for the USDA for a brief stint, and that he spoke regularly with Plum Island director Doc Shayen in 1952. Traub can be physically placed on Plum Island at least three times, on Dedication Day in 1956, and two visits, once in 1957 and again in the spring of 1958. Shayen, who enforced an ultra-strict policy against outside visitors, each time received special clearance from the State Department to allow Traub on Plum Island soil. And still more. Research unearthed three USDA files from the vault of the National Archives. Two were labeled Tick Research, and a third, Eric Traub. All three folders were empty. The caked on dust confirms the file boxes hadn't been opened since the moment before they were taped shut in the 1950s. Preposterous as it sounds, clandestine outdoor germ warfare trials were almost routine during this period. In 1952, the Joint Chiefs of Staff called for a vigorous, well-planned, large-scale biological warfare test to the Secretary of Defense later that year, stated, "Steps should be taken to make certain that adequate facilities are available, including those at Fort Detrick, Dugway Proving Ground, Fort Terry or Plum Island, and an island field testing area, unquote. Was Plum Island the island field testing area? Indeed, when the Army first scouted Plum Island for its Cold War designs, they charted wind speeds and direction and found that, much to their liking, the prevailing winds blew out to sea. One of the participating interested agencies was the USDA, which admittedly set up large plots of land throughout the Midwest for airborne anti-crop germ spray tests. Fort Detrick's Special Operations Division ran vulnerability tests, unquote, in which operatives walked around Washington, D.C. and San Francisco with suitcases holding Serratia marcescens, a bacteria recommended to Fort Detrick by Traub's nominal supervisor, Nazi germ czar and Nuremberg defendant Dr. Kurt Blohm. Tiny perforations allowed the germs release so that they could trace the flow of the germs through airports and bus terminals. Shortly thereafter, 11 elderly men and women checked into hospitals with never-before-seen Serratia marcescens infections. One patient died. Decades later, when the germ tests were disclosed, the Army denied responsibility. In the summer of 1966, Special Operations men walked into three New York City subway stations and tossed light bulbs filled with Bacillus subtilis, a benign bacteria, onto the tracks. The subway trains pushed the germs through the entire system and theoretically killed over 1 million passengers, unquote. Tests were also run with live, virulent anti-animal germ agents. Two hog cholera bombs were exploded at an altitude of 1,500 feet over pig pens set up at Eglin Air Force Base in Florida. And turkey feathers laced with Newcastle disease virus were dropped on animals grazing on a University of Wisconsin farm. The Army never fully withdrew its germ warfare efforts against food animals. 2 years after the Army gave Plum Island to the USDA, and 3 years after it told President Eisenhower it had ended all biological warfare tests against food animals, the Joint Chiefs advised that research on anti-animal agent munition combinations should, unquote, continue, as well as field testing of anti-food agent munition combinations, unquote. In November of 1957, military intelligence examined the elimination of the food supply of the Sino-Soviet bloc, right down to the calories required for victory. Quote, "In order to have a crippling effect on the economy of the USSR, the food and animal crop resources of the USSR would have to be damaged within a single growing season to the extent necessary to reduce the present average daily caloric intake from 2,800 calories to 1,400 calories, i.e. the starvation level. Reduction of food resources to this level, if maintained for 12 months, would produce 20% fatalities and would decrease manual labor performance by 95% and clerical and light labor performance by 80%. At least six outdoor stockyard tests occurred in 1964 and 65. Stimulants were sprayed into stockyards at Fort Worth, Kansas City, St. Louis, Sioux Falls, and Omaha in tests determining how much foot and mouth disease virus would be required to destroy the food supply. Had the Army commandeered Plum Island for an outdoor trial? Maybe the USDA lent a hand with the trial as it had done out west by furnishing the large field tests. After all, the Plum Island agreement between the Army and the USDA allowed the Army to borrow the island from the USDA when necessary and when in the national interest. Traub might have monitored the tests. A source who worked on Plum Island in the 1950s recalls that animal handlers and a scientist released ticks outdoors on the island. By the way, interrupting, these tests, of course, tests of ticks on Plum Island. Traub might have monitored the tests. A source who worked on Plum Island in the 1950s recalls that animal handlers and a scientist released ticks outdoors on the island. They called him the Nazi scientist. When they came in 1951, they were inoculating these ticks, unquote, and a picture he once saw shows the animal handler pointing to the area on Plum where they released the ticks, unquote. Dr. Traub's World War II handiwork consisted of aerial virus sprays developed on Ansel Reims and tested over occupied Russia, and of field work for Heinrich Himmler in Turkey. Indeed, his colleagues conducted bug trials by dropping live beetles from planes. An outdoor tick trial would have been de rigueur for Eric Trout. And one of the people involved here with early research into the possible Lyme connection here is a guy named Steve Nostrom. Somebody gave Steve Nostrom a copy of John Loftus's The Ballara Secret in one of his support group meetings. Steve had long suspected that Plum Island played a role in the evolution of Lyme disease, given the nature of its business and its proximity to Old Lyme, Connecticut. But he never publicly voiced that hunch, fearing a loss of credibility. Hard facts and statistics earned him a reputation as a leader in the Lyme disease field. Now, in his hands, he had a book written by a Justice Department attorney who not only had appeared on 60 Minutes, but also had brought down the Secretary General of the United Nations. Nostrom disclosed the possible Plum-Lyme connection on his own television show. He invited local news reporter and Plum Island ombudsman Carl Grossman to help him explore the possibilities in light of the island's biological mishaps. Asked why he wrote about Loftus's book in his weekly newspaper column, Grossman says, "To let the theory rise or fall, to let the public consider it." And it seemed to me that the author was a Nazi hunter and a reputable attorney. This was not trivial information provided, and it was provided by some reliable person. In October of 1995, Nostrom, fresh off nursing duty, having earned an RN degree to help Lyme disease patients, rushed to a rare public meeting held by the USDA. In a white nurse's coat, stethoscope still around his neck, Nostrom rose. Trembling, his blonde beard now streaked with gray, he clutched his copy of The Ballara Secret as he read the damning passage out loud for the USDA and the public to hear. "I don't know whether this is true," he said, looking at the dais. "If it is true, there must be an investigation. If it's not true, then John Loftus needs to be prosecuted." People in the audience clapped, and some were astonished. A few gawked, thinking he was nuts. How did the official USDA officials react? "If stairs could kill, I would have been dead," remembers Nostrom. Hiding behind the same aloof veil of secrecy they had employed for decades, the USDA brazenly cut him off. "There are those who think that little green men are hiding out there," an official responded to Nostrom, "but trust us when we say there are no space aliens and no five-legged cows." A few laughs erupted in the crowd. "It did nothing but detract from what I was saying," said Nostrom, "but I said it, and I had the documentation to support it." And still later, Carroll goes on, "If Dr. Traub continued his outdoor germ experiments with the Army and experimented with ticks outdoors, the ticks would have made contact with mice, deer, and more than 140 species of wild birds known to frequent and nest on Plum Island. The birds spread their toxic cargo to resting and nesting perches atop the great elms and oaks of Old Lyme and elsewhere, just like they spread the West Nile virus throughout the United States." And more about this particular connection will be in the description to this particular broadcast. And again, please do use the website, the Spitfire website at www.spitfirelist.com, and link websites, a vast and growing source of research with a blog sphere, a mini library of anti-fascist books, and vast amounts of other information, audio and print. This concludes side one of For the Record program number 585, titled Lyme Disease and Biological Warfare. This program is being recorded on February 11th of the year 2007. My name's Dave Emery. Thanks for listening.